It's Wednesday, June 6th, AD 2018. This is The World View in 5 minutes, written by yours truly and heard at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. On Monday, June 4th at 3:30 p.m., local communist authorities raided Autumn Rain Covenant Church in Sichuan, China, to summon Pastor Wang Yi and Preacher Li Ying Kang ahead of their scheduled prayer vigil on the anniversary of the 1989 Tiananmen Square massacre, reports International Christian Concern. 2 hours later, Pastor Wang Yi, his wife, 4 preachers, including Ying Kang, and 11 members of the church were taken away by the police. In the process, Preacher Li Ying Kang was brutally pushed against the wall, choked, and slapped multiple times by police officers. The authorities also cut the church's electricity and placed a notice on the wall which read, quote, "This is not an authorized place for religious gathering. Please go to an authorized and registered religious venue to participate in religious activities," end quote. Monday marked the 29th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre in China, where an estimated several hundred to thousands of student protesters were killed by the government, with more than 10,000 people arrested during and after the protests. Jack Phillips, the Christian baker from the Denver, Colorado suburb, who was told by the U.S. Supreme Court on Monday that he should not be compelled to bake a cake for a homosexual wedding, offered his reaction on NBC's Today Show yesterday morning.
I was thrilled. The United States Supreme Court has decided that we can try and enter the wedding business again and realize that I serve everybody, and it's just that I don't create cakes for every occasion that people ask me to create. I don't create cakes for Halloween. I wouldn't create a cake that would be anti-American or disparaging against anybody for any reason.
And Phillips' attorney, Kristen Wagner of the Alliance Defending Freedom, added this.
The court made very clear, as we made clear in our argument before the court, that Jack loves and serves anyone who walks into a store, but he doesn't express all messages. And that was critical for the court's decision. Justice Kennedy made clear that religious hostility by the government has no place in a pluralistic society.
Phillips has lived by 1 Corinthians 10:21, which says, "Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." A homosexual transgender so-called Christian conference scheduled to be held July 26th through 28th at Memorial Presbyterian Church in St. Louis, Missouri, has been accused by some of pushing a radical leftist agenda on conservative evangelical churches at the expense of sound Christian teaching, reports the Christian Post. Stephen Black, executive director of First Stone Ministries, is opposed to the positions that sexual orientation is a fixed identity, that the term sexual minorities, which applies to a group identity, should be allowed in Christianity, and that people can be both homosexual and Christian. 48% of Americans still believe abortion is morally wrong, while 43% believe it is morally acceptable, according to Gallup. A full 81% of respondents said human cloning is morally wrong, while just 16% said it is morally acceptable, reports Life News. Sadly, a slim majority of Americans are buying into the false, quote-unquote, death with dignity claims of the euthanasia movement, with 54% saying doctor-assisted suicide is morally acceptable. In contrast, 42% said the deadly practice is morally wrong. 55-year-old fashion designer Kate Spade hanged herself with a scarf in her Park Avenue home in New York City yesterday morning, leaving a suicide note addressed to her 13-year-old daughter Frances, which said, quote, "I have always loved you. This is not your fault. Ask Daddy," end quote, reports the Daily Mail. Her sister explained that Kate suffered from debilitating depression for years and refused to get medical help. Kate Spade and Company, known for her line of fashionable purses, had sold the brand to Coach for an astonishing $2.4 billion in 2017. Mexico will impose a 20% tariff on pork legs and shoulders from U.S. suppliers in retaliation for President Donald Trump's tariffs on steel and aluminum, reports Reuters. Those products amount to 90% of the country's $1 billion annual imports of the cuts. Former President Bill Clinton is still trying to put his best political spin on his sexual harassment of former White House intern Monica Lewinsky 20 years ago. Stay tuned for some jaw-dropping audio in my Worldview special report immediately following today's newscast. And finally, Hollywood actor Ashton Kutcher joined the fight against sex trafficking. His nonprofit group called Thorn reports that it identified 5,791 victims in 2017, reports the Christian Post. Thorn, Digital Defenders of Children, helps fight child sex abuse and human trafficking using software to bring sex traffickers to justice by providing law enforcement with information on suspected sex slavery networks and their victims. Ephesians 5:11 says, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." And that's the Worldview in 5 minutes. On this Wednesday, June 6th in the year of our Lord, 2018, subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for a Worldview special report. I'm Adam McManus. In an NBC interview on Monday with Craig Melvin about the new novel former President Bill Clinton co-authored with James Patterson, Clinton doubled down on his view that he does not owe Monica Lewinsky a person-to-person apology for taking advantage of her when she was a White House intern.
Looking back on what happened then, through the lens of Me Too now, do you think differently or feel more responsibility?
No, I felt terrible then. And I came to grips with it.
Did you ever apologize to him?
No, yes. You are giving one side and omitting facts.
Mr. President, I'm not trying to present a side. Well, I asked if you'd ever apologize, and you said you had.
I have.
You've apologized to her.
I apologize to everybody in the world.
But you didn't apologize to her.
I have not talked to her.
Do you feel like you owe her an apology?
No, I do. I've never talked to her. But I did say publicly on more than one occasion that I was sorry. The apology was public.
And you don't think a private apology is owed?
I think this thing has been, it's 20 years ago. Come on, let's talk about JFK. Let's talk about, you know, LBJ. Stop already.
You think President Kennedy should have resigned? Do you believe President Johnson should have resigned? Someone should ask you these questions because of the way you formulate the questions. I dealt with it 20 years ago.
Aaron Ryan of the Daily Beast wrote, "Instead of remorse, Clinton offered a brand of sleazy obfuscation that has come to personify the gaudy detachment political elites still have from the moment in which we live." There was the self-pity, saying, quote, "I left the White House $16 million in debt," end quote. The argumentum ad populum, saying, quote, "Two-thirds of the American people sided with me," end quote. And the clever, vague distractions, saying, quote, "You typically have ignored gaping facts in describing this," end quote. There was even the misdirection, quote, "I've apologized to everybody in the world," end quote, which he said when asked whether he'd express sorrow to Monica Lewinsky. And Ryan noted there was even moral preening.
"I had a sexual harassment policy when I was governor in the 80s. I had two women chiefs of staff when I was governor. Women were overrepresented in the attorney general's office in the 70s for their percentage in the bar. I've had nothing but women leaders in my office since I left."
The former president even had the audacity to paint himself as a supporter of the Me Too movement, a public groundswell of women who have come forward to tell their stories of sexual abuse and harassment at the hands of powerful men. No reference to Juanita Broderick, who claims he raped her decades ago in an Arkansas hotel room while he was the state's married governor. I suppose that we can find comfort in the truths described in two verses from Jeremiah 17. First, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it?" And second, verse 20, which says, "I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds." This has been a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus.